Hi, and welcome to another episode of Django Chat. I'm Carlton Gibson, joined as ever by Will Vincent.
Hi, Carlton.
Hi, Will. And we have special guest today, Mariusz Felisiak, my fellow Django fellow. Hi, Mariusz.
Hi, Carlton. Hi, Will.
Hi, Mariusz. So, Mariusz, let's begin. You're a Django fellow, like myself. So let's first of all talk about how you got into Django, and then perhaps we can get on to what the Django Fellowship is and what we do. So tell us about how you found Django and how you got into that.
So I work with Django for almost 10 or 11 years now. And most of this time I worked with Oracle databases. And in the same time I used Django heavily. It seems that it's not a common combination. It was quite rare. When in 2015, I think, Django folks posted announced that they are trying to find someone that will help in maintaining the Django Oracle backend, the entire Oracle infrastructure and
right.
Everything that is related with Oracle. Because if they will not find anyone, then they will consider to removing the Oracle backend from the core, because it's really hard to maintain without an expert that is using it daily. I decided that maybe that's the best time to start to contribute to Django, to help them with maintaining Oracle infrastructure. And to be honest, I was really surprised at the beginning with such a warm and friendly welcome. Because basically at the beginning, as I was a person that nobody really knows. After a few weeks, I started to be responsible for the Oracle CI infrastructure. And I started to contribute to Django. This became a part of my daily routine, to be honest. So after my normal day of work, I check in new tickets, try to find bugs in, especially in the Oracle backend at the beginning, but then I moved also to another part of Django. I try to find some small optimization cleanups, reviewing pull requests, which is not really a common thing to do, because most of contributors would like to submit patches. Be a part of Django, be one of authors of Django, but there's only a small amount of people that really would like to reviewing to review tickets and check if they work properly.
Right, and you said you were doing that
because
after
it's the hardest job.
Yeah, no, I mean it's difficult, right? I mean we'll come on to what the fellowship role and what that is in a minute, but you said you were doing this after your work, so it was like you're employed. Were you using Oracle at work as well?
Yeah, so we use Oracle database and Django in work, and after normal day of work, after 8 hours, I came back to home and used my computer to contribute to Django. So it was quite a hard time for me, because also in the same time I tried to defend my PhD. I also have a family, a small kid, etc. So it was quite hard time for me.
Yeah, because one of the big things with open source is like people getting burnt out, people putting in too much, people like running their energy levels low, and then not being able to carry on. So I mean, how did you manage that? Were you allowed to contribute as part of your work, or was it purely on your own back, or purely extra time?
So I do this. I did this purely in my extra time. So it was really intensive time for me.
Yeah.
But now finally I have some free time, because Django is my daily work. So
yeah.
I don't need to do this in my extra time. But still, probably I spend some extra time in Django.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for people contributing, like how to be aware of how much time they give versus the other things in their life?
For sure, you should have some bounds of time that you want to spend on any open source project. it doesn't need to be a Django, so you can contribute to one of Django third party package, you can contribute to another open source package. There is plenty of them. There's plenty of maintainers that really would like to get your help. That was not so obvious for me at the beginning when I started to work in an open source world, because I imagine that all open source packages and their maintainers are just some kind of superheroes out that know everything and and it's it probably will not be helpful for them to get any time or any code from me.
But that's not true, right?
Not all superheroes wear capes, right?
But like all projects are under maintained. I don't know whether all projects, but most projects, most maintainers could do with a helping hand. Like they could do with your input.
Yeah, I've started with really small Django third party packages that is called Django Request. And it was also quite a surprise for me that I know after sending 5 or 6 pull requests to this package, its maintainer asked me to, hey, maybe we'll create a Django request team and you'll help me to maintain this third party package. I was really surprised also with such a warm welcome because it was someone work, yeah, and he gave me an access to his repository and ask for help. It was a small but a big step for me.
Open source maintainers are very trusting. I was curious, Carlton, since you also got started with a number of packages, if that was a similar case where a couple PRs in, the maintainer says, Here's the store, here's access, because in non-open source engineering context, no one would do that, but it seems actually quite common in open source if they get a sense that you're a reputable actor. I guess you can always revert everything, but people are pretty trusting once you've crossed a bar.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the issue is time, right? So, I've got a few projects that I want to work on over the summer, and the reality is we're halfway through the summer and I've not had very much time to work on them at all, but I'll chip away and I'll get to do a release in the autumn. But the cadence for that kind of management is very much slower than something that's fully maintained with paid time, simply because it's volunteer effort. And so if you can come along and say, look, I'll fix this issue, or I'll triage tickets, or I'll, that's amazing. I don't know a single maintainer who's not going to jump at that, because I don't know any project which has got more hands on it than is needed to keep it going.
Right. Marius, for you, what was that process like becoming a fellow? How much work did Carlton need to do to indoctrinate you, or what was that onboarding process like? Because when we had Tim Graham on, Carlton and Tim talked a little bit about that process, but what was it like for you? Because that wasn't that long ago.
To be honest, at the very beginning, it wasn't really tough for me because I was already a part of the Django core team. I had access to the Django repository. I was aware how to backport changes, how to review tickets, how to triage tickets, etc. So I know the entire process. Mainly, I can say that, especially I should be thankful to Tim Graham for that, because from 2017, when I became a part of a member of Django core team, he helped me a lot with reviewing tickets, with the entire process, with a lot of tips and how to do some things. So I'm extremely thankful for to him, to I can say Scheiberger, because he was responsible for the Oracle backend previously. Of course, to Simon Charette, who's our ORM star in the Django. So if we have any heavily ORM specific issue, then we can also ask him for help. But I don't think that the entire process of becoming a Django fellow was really tough for me. I just switched from doing almost the same in my extra time to normal daily work. Maybe with some small differences, like releasing Django. Yeah, previously I didn't know how to release Django. There is a new version of Django, but now I can do this.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is, well, I wasn't actively maintaining Django before I became a Django fellow, whereas Marius was. I got the fellow role from the base of my work on DRF and Django Filter and, you know, other packages. But Marius has already been there and working on the ORM. And, you know, when Tim said he was going to step down, I was a bit like, wow, Tim knows so much. How's it going to work without him? And then when the fellow committee, then they nominate, when they picked Marius, I was like, wow, that's the perfect person. It was, you know, exactly.
Yeah,
what
I know
we
you were
need.
Telling me, like, and I was asking you how you felt about it, Carlton. You were saying how thrilled you were, and then you've been saying the same thing the last couple of months. How?
Yeah, no, Marius is a superhero.
Amazing work you've been doing, Marius. So
thanks.
Anyway, right, Marius, tell us about the, for our listeners. Tell us about the fellowship role, and tell us, you know, what that involves, and you know, what is the fellowship role for people who don't know.
Because I've seen you do tweets, I think, monthly, is it, talking about tickets you've handled. I find that very helpful. I almost wonder, actually, for you two fellows, in the same way that Tom Christie does a monthly update, if perhaps more visibility on the roles that you both are doing would be helpful to the community.
Well, we do fellow reports on Django developers, where we do, which is the public facing work that we do. So that, you know, tickets that we've reviewed on Track or PRs that we've reviewed on GitHub, we see those. There's other work that we do, like security work, which we don't put in those fellow reports, but
maybe it's more just there's a divide between developers and the rest of Django, and I feel like perhaps I can promote it a little bit on my newsletters, the fellows report, but I think most people aren't actually aware of what the two of you are doing.
Yeah, maybe. So what are we doing, Marius?
What are you doing?
Even for me, it was quite hard to explain what I'm really doing in this job, even to my previous colleagues or other developers. Yeah, when they ask what you are doing as a Django fellow. And when I try to explain them that it is not mainly related with writing a Django, with writing a code to the Django core, they was quite surprised that it is not the biggest part of our job. So we are mainly responsible for reviewing tickets, for triaging tickets, for reviewing pull requests. I think that's the main part of our job. So my daily routine starts from checking Django updates, with checking all events on our Track instance, comments that people add, new tickets, etc. I mainly start from reviewing tickets, reviewing and unreview tickets. And after that, reviewing pull requests, left some comments. We are also responsible for maintaining CI infrastructure. We are also responsible for being, for example, on IRC channel and other support Django channels to be one of the Linux supports for users, but we have so many people that are involved in supporting users on Django, users Google group or in Django IRC channel, that it is not a it is not the biggest part of our daily work. Yeah? So mainly triaging tickets, reviewing pull requests, merging them, backporting changes, but we are also checking Django security group, discussed security issues, if it is a security issue or not, how to solve them. Mainly that's it.
And doing the security releases. And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, we're going to, sorry, Carlton, we'll link to the Django developers and Django users groups, because I'm looking now at the monthly fellow reports that you you both put out. So for folks who do want to see, there is a lengthy, detailed report. This is the separate question of communication within Django, and it is, when you use it, Google Groups work, but maybe not the most public-facing forum for stuff.
I mean, one thing that's been coming to me recently over the summer, there've been, you know, we just did a security release with four security issues, and then the month before that there was a security release with one or two, I can't remember without looking right now, but there's been a lot of work there. And then there's also been issues on DjangoProject.com, and then there's Django People, and there's Django Packages, and you know, there's all these other extra sites. Django Snippets, I think, is under the Django organization now as well, or has been for years, I don't know. But there's these other bits of the kind of Django ecosystem that ostensibly Marius and I are meant to maintain as well, or part of our remit is to keep those maintained. We just don't have the time because we're working on the core Django project, the Django, you know, open source project, the Django. And so one thing that's really been coming to me is that is when, as another way that people can contribute is in all these other things around the community, which I've been coming to realize are part of the fellow role, but which are almost unmaintained because there just isn't the bandwidth there to support them.
Well, what's an example of a community that does this right? Is there a language or framework Django can borrow from? I mean, because this is a hard problem.
That's a good question.
I guess part of the issue is that Django truly is open source and community driven, whereas some projects are much more solo efforts with a little bit of help. And so those solo efforts can have a canonical, you know, I'm thinking of Vue or Laravel, where there's one person who's really driving it. I guess DRF, it's, you know, it was you and Tom Carlton for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, what would I say? I mean, I think there's things like Django Packages, which has been around for a long time, which is super, which is great. And there's Django Snippets, which again has been around since the early days of Django. But they're not really picked up and loved. And we either need to sort of say to them, well, say either we need to go to the DSF members mailing list, which if you're not a member of the DSF, join it, as we say every week almost. But we either need to go to that mailing list and say, hey, there are these resources that need maintaining. Can we find some volunteers to help maintain those? Or we need to end of life them and scale back a bit. I don't know. What do you think, Maris? Because you, I saw you a week or two ago, you ended up spending, you know, quite a lot of time maintaining Django People. So what happened there, and what are your thoughts on the scope of the Django project?
Yeah, we have a lot of packages and to be honest, also a lot of sites that are under Django's wings. So it's really hard to maintain all of them. Just like the issue that we had with Django People a week or two ago, with some strange size that you get instead of Django People, and to be honest, it's still something that we did not understand how it was happening. Probably some issue in Heroku, but it's hard to understand what really happened. But yeah, I spent the entire day on bumping requirements on redeploying Django People on Heroku, etc. But previously, before this issue happened, I did not really spend time in maintaining Django People. So, but suddenly an issue appeared on the Django People that they have a strange size instead of Django People, and maybe we should fix this. So I was, whoa, what just happened? It's really strange. Maybe some outdated requirements. Let's bump them. Nope. it wasn't better. It seems that currently it works fine. But we have a lot of packages that are currently in the Django org, like Django Dockerbox that we moved from Tom Forbes' repository under the Django, also it.
Let's talk about the Django Dockerbox project for a minute. What is that? And because I think that's going to be a really useful tool. And can you explain what that is and how people might use it?
To be honest, for me, it's extremely useful because I'm not able to have multiple databases versions on my own laptop. Yeah, so in the Django Dockerbox, we have ready-to-use containers with a different version of all databases that are currently supported by Django, with different version of libraries, for example, GIS libraries. You can use them to run tests. You can use them to we can use them to find issues on the different versions, because our CI infrastructure currently works with a single version of each database, mainly the newest supported version of each database. Yeah? And in the Django Dockerbox, we have all supported versions with the entire test suite, and we are able to catch some small issues in the previous version of each database, like I don't know, this single test is failing on PostgreSQL 9.4, for example, yeah? Or MariaDB 10.1 point something, which we will not be able to catch without it. And it is also really helpful for users, because you don't need to set up the entire test suite.
Right. So that's what I was going to say. Do you think using Django Dockerbox is a better way forward for new contributors? I mean, assuming they're happy with Dockia, you think that's the way forward to recommend to new users to get going with the Django Dev Suite and get going with
Yeah, exactly. If you have a basic Docker knowledge like me, then you will be able to use them to run the entire test suite without the entire process that can be quite hard to set up database, just 1, 2, 3, or 4 different databases engines, and to set up everything correctly. It's easier, yeah. Especially if you are trying to submit patch to the ORM. It's the hardest part, because you need to support all database versions.
Right. And so, speaking of all database versions, you said you got into Django because of your use of Oracle, and you chose to support the backend. So for all of us who aren't using Oracle, what's it offer? Because it's got this reputation as the enterprise beast, but you obviously have fun with it. So, you know, give us the 10-second elevator pitch. What's Oracle for us, and why should we use it?
Yeah, I think that the Oracle is just a normal database. I know that is maybe not as supportive for users and developers. That's the main issue, I think, with the Oracle database, that is not developers friendly, just like PostgreSQL, for example, or other databases. But it is changing in the last few years. So you can see that there is a process of changes in the Oracle database, and it starts to looks like a almost like a PostgreSQL. So for example, a year or two ago, they added a feature that is really similar to the different databases, like in the PostgreSQL. Yes, you can have different databases in the same engine, in the same instance. Yeah. So I think that it was a big step forward. Now they are trying to support JSON fields and a few other features that they added recently. So it's better than it was a few years ago. But currently I'm not using it daily, so and I'm thankful for that, to be honest. I think that the biggest advantage of using Oracle Database is the entire enterprise management, a set of enterprise management utilities that they give for you. So probably you will not find so many features for DBAs like in the Oracle Database.
Okay, so it's easy to administer.
Yeah, it's easier than in other databases.
Oh, I was going to ask if Oracle ever reached out to you or other Django people directly, like, you know, do they give a shit about Django with new features saying, hey, we worked on this, or is it just they toss it out there and assume someone like yourself will do the free work to integrate it?
I'm not sure if they really care about the open source world, but few years ago, they take under the Oracle organization at least Python driver that was previously maintained by a single person. Currently he's an Oracle employee, and I think that it is his daily work to maintain a Python driver for the Oracle database. So at least some step forward, but yeah, they did not try to reach us. I'm not sure if we tried to reach them to get some funds. It's hard for me to say.
It seems like something that we should do, right? We should reach out to this giant megacorp Oracle and say, hey, can you give us some peanuts so that we can maintain the support in the leading or one of the leading Python web frameworks?
Well, and there's a real danger, Marius, with you not using it day to day, that it will not be as maintained as it has been. So who would do that reach out, Carlton? This is actually, just so we make this for those listening, part of the problem with Django is that there's a lot of cooks. Like who would,
anybody,
who's
right?
Empowered to do that reach out?
So Marius could email them. I could email them. Frank could email, Frank, president of the DSF board, could email them, but we'd have to put that on his radar. You know, any member of the DSF, anybody, any user could be like, hey, I use Django and I listen to this podcast on Django and they said that Oracle don't fund maintenance of the back end. How about you fund? Like, but yeah, ultimately, I guess we should reach out and say, hey, dear Oracle, please, can you support us? But
well, and ultimately it's finding there are big companies out there using Oracle and Django, and in the absence of support, we'll need to drop one or both for their project.
Yeah, probably the hardest thing in reaching them would be to get contact with someone that really can make a decision, yeah? Because it's a huge organization.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And we don't have to spend the whole episode on Oracle, but it must be a solved problem for some other frameworks or languages. It can't always just be this beast that is totally disconnected from the programming world that uses it and pays their bills. Anyway, maybe someone from Oracle is listening. what would be helpful? It'd be nice if, like, for you both, what would you like people to know about Fellows that they don't already know? And what could the community do to make your roles easier?
Probably people that are not maintain any open source project don't know how hard it is to maintain an open source project. One thing that I would like to say, if you reach any open source project, Django or any other, then be polite to maintainers, because they are real people that in main cases have their own job, have their own family, and maintaining open source projects is not what they would do daily for 8 hours. Sometimes in an open source world, you reach that kind of discussions or conversation when people are just arguing or trying to say not really supportive things like, you are not maintaining this package very well, so I will not use it. Yeah, and they are not not understand that it is not something that an open source would like to hear, and in most of cases they shouldn't really they don't really bother of that kind of comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an extreme version of what happens to a lot of software. If you're at a startup, there's often the case where you're less happy as it grows because the numbers on the screen increase, but the amount of complaints you get from users, that's, you know, you hear those and you have to deal with those. So even though you've gone from 100 to 10,000 users, day to day, you're going from 5 to 50 complaining people. And so you're just sort of miserable because there's that disconnect between digital and the human side of what you're doing. And I, for you both as well, you,
yeah, and I think I'd agree. Like the job of triage, the reason why why was the fellowship program created was because no one was triaging tickets and no one was reviewing pull requests. And it can be really difficult. You know, you've got a pull request that's 3 years old on a ticket that's 9 years old, that's been updated and some more tests have been added, but comments which were vital 4 years ago haven't been addressed. And to find that history and to really work out what's going on, it can, you know, it's really hard work. And then you get to the end of the day and you're like, wow, I'm exhausted. And that's why the fellowship role exists, because that work simply can't get done. And we're working our butts off to get us do as well as we can. And if people, all I guess what I would ask is people recognize that and people realize that we're doing our best. And if you don't agree with us, that's fine. Just say, hey, I don't agree, and try and explain why, rather than the passive aggressive, oh, I'm going to stop using Django. It's like, you know?
Come up with a better insult, right? I mean, that's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I need to say that in a Django community, we are really happy people, because it's not really often that you get that kind of comments.
Yeah, it's very rare.
But yeah, instead of adding a comment to some track tickets, that when you will move this forward, you need to always remember that patches are welcome, yeah? If you want to move it forward, prepare a patch and we'll review it as soon as we will be able to. So.
Yeah. And we do quite well, you know, the patch. So in the track system, there are patches which there are lots of patches submitted. There's 200 open pull requests, but lots are flagged with need improvement. They've got reviews on them or they need documentation. So they've got reviews. There's only about 20 which are sort of not with a review already in place. And that 20 rolls over pretty quickly. You know, we get there. We get there quite fast. I think we do quite a good job. And, you know, Maris is amazing and I do the best I can. So.
Well, Marius, I'm curious for you. So Django has a number of new features coming forward, I guess most prominently async. What are you excited about that's coming to Django as opposed to the maintenance role that you have to spend a lot of time on?
To do this async thing, yeah. I'm not an async person or an async expert, and it was a huge challenge for me to review this first async ticket with adding a SG handler, for example, because I didn't even know where to start. And in the same time, you are responsible for adding this to Django for the quality of this code, because partly we are responsible for that, yeah, for not creating a new regressions, etc. So I had to learn a lot about async with this in this first patch, yeah, and probably I will learn even more when we will add async support for views and to another part of Django. I think it will be a big challenge. I'm not sure if we'll be able to reach this in the Django 3.0 to add async support for views, but we'll see, because we have only 1 month to the feature freeze. and also a lot of other features in the light, like in the line, like adding enums, for example, to Django RM, adding a new currently we added a new exclusion constraints to PostgreSQL. We have also a lot of new features that are waiting in the line, and currently when we have only 1 month to the feature freeze, we can see a beginning of this pressure. That's my new feature, you should add it, because if not, then I will need to wait another few months to the next Django release. Yeah. So please add it at this last day before the feature freeze. You should review it and move it into core. So we need to be a really assertive people, at least in these few last weeks before the feature freeze. But we have so many new features currently in the Django 3.0 that even if we will not add any new feature to Django 3.0, it is already astonishing.
What is that date for feature freeze?
It will be at the beginning of September, 8th of September, I think.
9th, I think, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, perhaps we'll want to, editing note, move this episode up, Carlton, just so that people are aware of that deadline who maybe wouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who's regularly developing knows the feature freeze is coming because it's kind of...
You know. Yeah, I think most... Again, I'll be the voice of ignorance. I think a lot of people aren't aware of the schedule, and for your so if someone has submitted something, they're aware of that. For a regular person, they're not aware that by September you know it's coming in December, more or less.
Yeah, I mean, so the interesting thing with the feature freeze is like it gives us time to release the alpha or the beta, the release candidate, get those tested in the community, and that's. Generally speaking, why the point releases are good quality, and there, you know, there'll always be half a dozen little mini regressions in some new feature, but the point of having the feature freeze is to allow time for those bugs to be found. But you know, we have to be, I don't know, kind of certain that there isn't bugs. We can't just go, oh, we've still got 3 months to fix it. It's like, no, this is, if it's not ready, we can't bring it in at this point,
right?
Any projects you want to side projects you want to mention, Marius?
Yeah, I'm so involved in Django that in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I didn't have time for any side projects.
If people do want to get in touch beyond the Google developers, the developers Google group, is there a way that they could or should? Twitter, email, do you have any preference?
I think that the best way to reach us is on Django IRC channel, Django dev IRC channel, to be honest, because basically we are there for the entire day, maybe not actively, but when I start my job, I'm just opening IRC channel and I get the entire history from the last few hours. Yeah, so we are able to respond to any comment there. So if you have an issue with, I don't know, running a test suite, or you would like to propose a new feature, but you are not sure if this should go to the core, you can add a new comment button or on IRC channel, and if not one of us, then probably another from community will respond to that. I think that the IRC channel is the best and the most responsive way to get help in using Django, and to get help with starting to contribute to Django also.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Maris is very active there, and so are a lot of the other core members. I'm less so. I'm more of an asynchronous methods person. So, you know, for me, if you want help get setting up the test suite, email Django Core Mentorship and I'll get that and reply there. You know, I'm on IRC, but I really...
Yeah, well, we'll link to all these resources in the show notes, so they're available to everyone.
Right, brilliant. Right, let's leave it there. Thank you, Maris. Thank you very much for coming on to the show. It's been super having you. And thank you for joining us, everybody. We're on Twitter at chatdjango and djangochat.com. Join us next time. Bye-bye.